From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we take your questions as they come in from all around the world. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember, as always, our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Moses first. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, on CHRB. Hi, Moses.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. My question's on James chapter 1, verse 12. It talks about temptation and the crown of life. So I just want to know, can you elaborate? What's the Bible talking about here? I'm interested in the crown of life because it sounds like there's a reward, and I feel like I should run after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any question about it. There's two things going on here whenever the term life is used. The idea is not only life in terms of the rewards that you mention, although that is certainly in view in the passage, but also what Jesus says in John 10:10, where he says that he has come to give us life and to give us that life to the full. So as believers, we are those who are brought into intimate community with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into Trinitarian life. And so the life that we experience is an enhanced kind of life in the present as well as the eternal reward of life.
Okay, so when I read kind of life there, I just think about my eternity?
No, I'm saying that it is not only eternity and eternal rewards, but it's also life in the present, life that is life to the full. And let me expand on that for everybody listening in. Rewards are conveyed biblically through the symbolism of crowns in general. The sermon that Christ gave, the statements of Scripture, they use the majestic imagery of crowns to convey the concept of eternal inheritance. But again, not just eternal inheritance. It is life that is life to the full in the present. So you find the Redeemer portrayed in Scripture as wearing many crowns. The redeemed are pictured as wearing crowns as well. So there's a symmetry between the crowns that are worn by the Redeemer and the crowns that are worn by the redeemed. So for Christ, the crowns are symbolic of royalty. For Christians, they are symbolic of our eternal reward, because they're not perishable crowns like the wreaths that are awarded to those who win in a mere athletic event on earth. They are the imperishable crowns that will reflect the glory of God throughout eternity. I'll give you some examples. In a letter to Timothy, Paul urges his protege to train himself for righteousness in the same way that a runner trains for a race. And that portrayal conjures up images of a fatigued relay runner who is prepared to pass the baton. So he's approaching the finish line, and Paul is exhorting him to finish the race. You can almost hear Paul gasping for breath himself as he cries out, I have I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So there you have a crown of righteousness. Well, like Paul, Peter uses the imagery of crowns to portray the enduring reality of our eternal reward and promises that Jesus Christ, when he returns, will give us a crown of glory that will never fade. So in sharp contrast to the fading character of a garland of leaf-like gold that is awarded to the winner of a race, our reward will be a garland of grace that will never fade. It will be an enduring reminder that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. So here you have now a crown of righteousness and the imagery of a crown of glory. And I think this is particularly apropos in light of the fact that we have just finished the Winter Olympic Games. Crowns and awards and medals are being doled out to people, but they are for something that fades away. The crown that we receive is a crown that never fades away. So Peter is urging us to live with an eternal perspective so that we will receive the crown of glory. But James is urging us to live with perseverance so that we will receive the crown of life that you asked about, Moses. And so James says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So unlike Paul, who is using secular imagery of athletics to relate to primarily a Gentile audience, James is using spiritual imagery to relate to a primarily Jewish audience. And thus, the blessings he pronounces on those who persevere are reminiscent of those proclaimed by Jesus in the Beatitudes. So again, you have James mirroring the words of the master who said, do not be afraid of those who can put you into prison and can cause you to be persecuted for a number of years. Instead, be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Of course, James himself was stoned to death. So the imagery is very poignant and profound. The enduring rewards of perseverance are the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life. And then, as you mentioned, James is also going beyond that later on and pointing out that those who are faithful in service and self-sacrifice and suffering and the like will receive enduring rewards. In other words, rewards in eternity. And that coheres well with what I've taught over the years, that there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Reggie next in British Columbia, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Reggie.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And once again, it's really a pleasure to speak to you and to call your show. My question, I was listening to the lady from North Carolina speak about the name of Jesus and why we don't use the name Yeshua. Now, we, first of all, believe we have to go back and look that there was no letter J up until 500 years ago, and it was the Spanish who were persecutors and lovers of gold that changed his name to Jesus. And if there's true power in the name, then why do we not use the name that God bestowed upon him? Because if you go to a Messianic church, they don't use the name Jesus. They use the name Yeshua. They use the name Yahweh. And if there's real power in the name, and the name that God bestowed upon him, God is God. He could have used the name Jesus, but he chose that name for a special reason. So why are we not looking at the history of where that name Jesus came from? And if there's power in the name, why are we not using the name that God bestowed upon his son?
Well, remember, there are many, many different languages in the world, Reggie. And those languages will take words and they will transliterate them. And that transliteration does not mean that somehow or other the word is denuded of power or meaning. So if I speak my spiritual faith in the Dutch language, as I was speaking to my mother the other day, who is Dutch, it is very, very meaningful to her because she understands the Dutch language. But to you, it may not be meaningful if you don't understand the Dutch language. So we have to understand that Hebrew has Yehoshua, that's a contraction of Yehoshua, which equals Yeshua. In English, Joshua, which is a common name in the Old Testament, one who led Israel following Moses. The Greek version of Yeshua, Yehoshua, is Iesus. In Greek, the I comes before the Hebrew Y. Into English, from the Greek, we have then Jesus. So the real issue here, though.
500 years ago.
Well, the real issue
now,
here.
Was it before the 500 years? Because English is older than 500 years old. And there was no letter J 500 years ago.
Well, the point, though, that I'm making is that it is not the word that you use, it is the meaning that you pour into the word. So if I'm saying Allah as a Coptic Christian, I'm talking about the God of the Bible. If I say Allah as a Muslim in the Middle East, I'm talking about a Unitarian God that is quite different from the God of the Bible. So again, the same word is being used, but a different meaning.
Muslims believe in Yeshua. They believe in Yahweh.
Well, but they don't believe in the Christian Yeshua. For a Muslim, Jesus is a prophet. He's actually not a prophet as great as the prophet Muhammad, but he is a prophet nonetheless.
No,
but the Muslims said,
"Not true."
Well, hang on 1 second. I just wrote a book about this, so I've been studying this for.
I've been studying it too, Hank. And they take.
I don't know what happened to Reggie. I honestly don't know. He just disappeared. But the point is that Muslims...
He's coming back again.
Oh, there you are. I thought I'd lost you.
They look at him as the most special prophet, not just a prophet. They also believe that he is going to return one day.
They do believe that he's going to return one day. That's true. But they do not believe that he is the Son of God. And that makes all the difference.
No, they don't believe that he is the Son of God. They don't believe that any human being can be bequeathed as a child of the Most High. They believe that it's blasphemous to think that God would come down and have sex with a mortal because he's God, and that's just a lack of communication from a Christian standpoint to bring a person to the understanding of the glass being half full and not half empty. But they certainly believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, but they completely misunderstand what begotten means. They think that when you say begotten, that means sexual reproduction as opposed to special relationships. So they don't really think it's blasphemous
exactly.
to say that Jesus Christ
now,
is...
Isn't that our duty to bring insight and understanding to the Word of God so that we all might have a right to the tree of life?
Yeah, absolutely. That's precisely what we need to do, and that's why we have to be able to explain that the Muslim concept of Jesus is a completely different concept from the biblical understanding of Jesus. Because
I don't see it as being completely different.
It could not be more different, because the Muslim is actually saying, just a second, Reggie, the Muslim is actually saying that when you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have not only blasphemed, but you committed an unforgivable sin, what they call the unforgivable sin of shirk, S-H-I-R-K. We say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, And when we say that, we're not in any way supposing that Jesus is merely mortal. We're saying that Jesus Christ is incarnate God, is God in human flesh, one person with two natures, 100% human. 100%.
But, I mean, also, when Christ said, woe be unto religions, and that, for that very reason.
I'm not sure what you just said.
Who among us are righteous?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're...
No, not one.
I don't know exactly where you're going with that, but let me say that it is something that is critical for you to understand. It is something critical for everyone, whether you're a Muslim or anybody else, to understand, because virtually every single theological heresy begins with the misconception of the nature of God. I'm going to have to leave it at that, Reggie. Enjoyed my conversation with you. I have written a book titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. That book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
While millions of Christians may know a fair amount about God, they do not adequately know Him. Their spiritual walk remains little more than a cold intellectual assent to tidy packets of rational propositions, rather than a daily transformational experience of Christ that fuels a joyful life and dynamic witness. If this describes your situation, be sure to read Pastor Rankin Wilburn's remarkable book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity,
cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
Nothing is more basic or central to knowing and enjoying God than union with Christ. It's what the Bible is all about. It's the very heart of the Christian faith and what makes the gospel good news. Yet, if you asked most people today, what is the gospel? Union with Christ is likely not what springs to mind. Something is terribly amiss. Be sure to read Rankin Wilborn's essential book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And before we go to our callers, a quick reminder that those who join CRI's monthly support team can receive a copy of any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org. And we do need many of you to join CRI's monthly support team. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Brendan, Fresno, California, listening on the web. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing good. You know, Hank, I got to tell you, before I get to my question, just real quick, I just graduated from UCLA, and now I'm back home in Fresno, and you have been a lifeline to almost, it feels like, sane teaching among some of the stuff I was learning out there. So truly appreciate your Bible focus and, you know, all that. It's a different world in California and specifically at UCLA. So thank you for keeping me grounded.
You got it. Thank you for that encouragement.
Yeah. My question is, I'm looking at seminary now and trying to figure out where God's leading me to ultimately become a pastor or to work in ministry. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on schools in general, if anything stands out, and then specifically the master's seminary. And I believe you said your friend, John MacArthur, but I know recently there was the orthodoxy stuff that he said. And if you just had any thoughts on seminary and specifically master's, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was unfortunate that John MacArthur made the remarks that he did. And I did do a video on that people can find on the web by simply Googling Hanegraaff MacArthur. But having said all of that, as I said in the video, I respect John, and I certainly respect the school that he founded. In fact, I was a speaker for the dedication of MacArthur Chapel at that school, and so I continue to think of it highly as a seminary, and my views have not changed on that. Now, I think there are many, many good options that are available, and I think you ought to check all of them out. Faith Evangelical Seminary in Tacoma, Washington, that has a Lutheran bent. Talbot School of Theology, La Mirada, California, fantastic. There are many other schools that I really like. Hellenic College, Holy Cross, that's a Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. St. Vladimir's. I mean, there are so many great choices, and I mean, the Lord will have to lead you in terms of the choice that you make. It's a seminal choice. It's a very important choice, and I know what my preferences would be at this point, but let me just say that there are great, great choices available to Christians today.
Okay, well, thank you. I also wanted to just let you know, growing up, I grew up in an Armenian Orthodox church and have sort of become, I guess, evangelical. But in any case, your recent thing with Orthodoxy and converting, I guess, I don't know, I don't like to say converting, you're still a Christian, but in any case, it's meant a lot to me to see how Orthodoxy and evangelical beliefs can work together in you, and, you know, just how there's reconciliation there and positivity. And that's meant a lot to me personally, so I also just wanted to let you know about that. But thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brendan. And yeah, it's really true. If we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. Those who are genuine Christians have to hang together. And one thing I have learned over more than 30 years of active ministry all over the world is that God has his people everywhere. I still remember when I first went to China and I discovered people who didn't have the theological acumen that I might have, but who had life. And they were transformative for me. So here I found a group that we once thought to be cultic, to be some of the best examples of Christianity I'd ever run into. In fact, they started a quest for me that continues on to this very day to not only know doctrine, but to experience the life that is life indeed. Jesus Christ said that very thing, I have come that they might have life and have life to the full. So I think one of the big problems that we have today is tribalism. What we ought to be doing is uniting around the essentials of the historic Christian faith, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. And rather than being tribal and separating in an inordinate fashion, we ought to be glued together as an answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. This is not an ecumenical movement for the sake of an ecumenical movement, but it is an ecumenical movement for true unity around the essentials by which we ought to be bound together. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jay in Old Hickory, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm quite well. I'm calling you because I refer to you, and this isn't in a nice complimentary way. I call you my Bible nerd because you know so much about God's Word. You know, you just study it and study it, and you can break it apart, and that's kind of what we nerds do. We investigate and study and study, and we come up with the answers. So, since Bill Gates, to be nerdish is cool, which is cool for me because I'm a big nerd, I'll just tell you.
But well, I'm glad to be talking to a fellow nerd.
Huh?
I'm glad to be talking to a fellow nerd.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Here's my question.
Sure.
I want to know if you've ever heard of a group called The Way. It's a Christian home study group. I forget where their base is, but I was interested if you had heard of them, and if so, what do you think of their group?
Yeah, well, this is known formally as The Way International. It was founded by a guy named Victor Paul Weirwell. Yeah, and I think it was founded back in 1942. The problem with this group is they look and act as though they are genuinely Christian, but they are not. And what I was saying earlier is that we ought to be united around the essentials of the historic Christian faith, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So the essentials become the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Here's the problem with The Way International. They deny essential Christian doctrine. For example, they deny the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, Weirwell actually wrote a book titled Jesus Christ is Not God. And I think that says it all. But there's more. They deny the Trinity. In fact, according to Weirwell, the Trinity is of pagan origin. They deny the personality of the Holy Spirit. They deny the two natures of Christ. In other words, that Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. They deny eternal conscious punishment for the unrighteous. And the list could go on and on and on. And I was doing a Hank Unplugged podcast earlier today. And one of the points that we discussed in this podcast is that Satan packages and repackages the lie in a multitude of ways. He never presents evil in its naked deformity, Because if he did, we wouldn't buy into it. The fact of the matter is we can't keep up with all the repackaging. Even if you do what I do, even if I'm, quote, a nerd, you can't keep up with it all. Again, the permutations are just too many. So we have to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. The principle is that contrast is the mother of clarity. So if you want to know whether the Way International is a crooked stick, you lay the straight stick of essential Christian doctrine next to it, and you see its crookedness by comparison. So again, I would call the Way International a cult because they deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
Okay. I know some people that are in that home study group, The Way, and I talked to him about it a little bit, and I'm always willing to kind of just listen because I like to see, I'm nerdish enough to where I want to know what you're talking about. I want to know what you're saying. Doesn't mean I have to buy into it or think anything of it, but I want to just see what you have to say. And when they said they didn't go along with the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, that I took some issue with. I also took some issue with this, and I think you've heard of this, and I believe I've heard you talk about it before, called where Paul said that when we're absent from the body, we're with the Lord, that they don't believe in that. What is it called? Is it death sleep or soul sleep? Soul sleep. They believe in that.
Yes, and there's nothing whatsoever in Scripture to commend the idea of soul sleep. In fact, we have exactly the opposite that is communicated even by our Lord in Luke chapter 16. There you have a rich man and Lazarus. They both die, and they both find that they have eternal conscious existence after the death of the body. So we read the Lord saying that Lazarus, the beggar, he is being comforted in Abraham's bosom, or paradise, a way of talking about being comforted in the presence of God. And then we read about the rich man who ends up in torment. So this is very clear evidence that the soul continues to exist after the death of the body. The soul of man is indistinguishable from the whole of man, according to what these people are saying, but that's simply not true. They're saying that the soul cannot continue to exist consciously apart from the body, but Jesus is saying precisely the opposite. The other thing I think that's important is to recognize the metaphors of Scripture, because sleep is a common biblical metaphor for the death of the body. So in John 11, you have the clearest example, because Jesus there tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get better. But Jesus was speaking of his death. The disciples thought natural sleep, and so he finally had to dissuade them of their error and say, Lazarus is dead. In other words, he speaks to them very plainly. He says, no, he's not sleeping. He's dead. And there are myriad other examples where the Bible speaks of the body asleep in death, but the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death. So again, with the Way International, we have to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. Jay, thank you so much for your call. We're coming up to station break. Back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Also, the quote of the day. It's a rather long quote, but I think a very, very important quote. I want to share it with you as soon as we come back. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Nothing is more basic or central to knowing and enjoying God than union with Christ. It's what the Bible is all about. It's the very heart of the Christian faith and what makes the gospel good news. Yet, if you asked most people today, what is the gospel? Union with Christ is likely not what springs to mind. Something is terribly amiss. Be sure to read Rankin Wilborn's essential book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI.
and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org.
While millions of Christians may know a fair amount about God, they do not adequately know Him. Their spiritual walk remains little more than a cold intellectual assent to tidy packets of rational propositions, rather than a daily transformational experience of Christ that fuels a joyful life and dynamic witness. If this describes your situation, be sure to read Pastor Rankin Wilburn's remarkable book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from the book that I was talking about at the beginning of the broadcast. It is our resource of the month titled Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God, the author Rankin Wilburn, who writes, "Of all the good news the gospel brings, the greatest, and indeed the door to all the rest, is that you can be united to Christ. It's really possible. Union with Christ is not an abstract idea. It is a powerful reality. And if Jesus has joined his life to yours, then you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. But unless you are united to him, all that he has done for you remains useless and of no value to you. You know, our lives in the present have been created for union and communion with God. We have been made to have fellowship in the Trinity. And this is one of the most powerful ideas within Christendom that most people seem blithely unaware of. This is the glorious reality that we can experience Christ in an intimate, intimate way. And again, it's why I'm so excited to bring you a book, actually from a very unlikely source, that grapples with this issue on a lay level. In other words, it's intimately accessible. And I mean intimately in that this is dealing with something that is intimate in an intimate way. Union with Christ, the way to know and enjoy God, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. It's for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, we need many of you to consider standing with a one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. This is a, well, it's a scary time, if you think about it just on a human level. The attrition within the body of Christ presently is terrifying, quite frankly. And it's as though many people are walking by the graveyard and not willing to look at the dead. You know how people whistle when they walk by the graveyard? It's kind of what we're doing. We don't want to ponder the implications of a dying civilization. But civilizations do rise and fall. They are fragile. And if you look at Washington from the perspective of Capitol Hill, you see the monuments and you think, Washington, it is an eternal city. But if you go, as I did, to Athens, and you view the Parthenon, you see the bleached bones of bygone kings. You see ruin and destruction. You see a city that stood for 2,000 years, now in ruin. The same thing when you think about Rome. It was considered to be the eternal city. And yet, it is a civilization that was destroyed. So all civilization is essentially as fragile as a newspaper. And in the midst of a disintegrating civilization, you have been called to make a difference. It's one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about what we are presently doing with our digital media platforms. Digital media is the connective tissue of modern civilization, much like the Roman roads were at the time of Christ. I think back to the last Facebook YouTube Live I did just a week or so ago, and immediately recognized that there were people in 20 different countries that identified themselves that were benefiting from the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So digital media platforms are extraordinarily important. You think about the journal and all its permutations seen in digital spheres. But added to digital media platforms, we cannot forget our responsibility as Christians to share the gospel and to make disciples. Jesus made it plain. He said that we are called to make disciples. We are to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. It is our commission to make disciples, not converts, disciples. And not just disciples, reproducing disciple makers. We're thinking today about the 2 billion or more Christians on the planet. If you apply the Pareto principle, the 80-20 principle, and you only take 20% of them and say they are committed to church life, they are committed to the principles of the kingdom. They've experienced union with God. And you take just 20% of those 2 billion, and if each of them would lead one person to faith in Christ and into the life of the church, and you extrapolate that out through the process of spiritual multiplication, it would take less than 5 years to evangelize the world. So the question becomes, why don't we do it? I think all too often it is we have our health, we have our wealth, we have our altars, we have our churches, and we are at ease while the world perishes. You know, going back to whistling as you walk by the graveyard. The truth of the matter is, millennials are leaving the church in droves. If you're in a healthy, well-balanced church, a spiritual gymnasium, oftentimes that attrition is so alarming because people in the church are marrying outside the church and the bar for the unbeliever seems too high to become part of the church life, and so the believer leaves the church with the unbeliever. Or you think about millennials that go off to college. There are varying statistics, but some 60% or more never return to the church. They're leaving the church. Where are they? What are we doing? I think in part the problem is that we don't make disciples because we're not energized by a power that is in us but not of us. We're working with all our energy as opposed to with all His energy. I'm always compelled by what Paul says. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that everyone may be made perfect in Christ. And then he says, to this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. We can struggle with our own energy, or as many are, just be on the sidelines, not struggling at all. Or we can struggle with all His energy, which so powerfully works in us. And really, that is why I'm so motivated at the beginning of this month to talk to you about these resources. You know, we provide resources because we want to equip you. And that's the purpose. We're grateful that you give because the gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We ask you not to give to us, but through us. But in the process of giving, I want to equip you. And so again, we go to great pains to find resources that we find beneficial to the broad swath of Christianity in the West. I mean, it's where we're based, and these are the people, you, who are supporting this ministry and allowing us to minister not only in the East, but from East to West, from West to East, from North to South, from South to North. And this month, I am particularly excited about the resources. Again, Union with Christ, the Way to Know and Enjoy God. It's eminently readable, and it talks about the enchanted reality that we can experience a union with Christ that allows us not only communion with God, but communion with others, and it empowers us to be a leavening force in the culture. And again, this month, I'm so excited to be bringing to your attention once again the classic, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard. He has run his course. He has finished the race. He has fought the good fight. He is, again, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But his legacy lives on, and I would say in particular in this book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. It is a convicting book, but it is a book that will inform you on how you can experience this union and communion with Christ that I'm talking about. You know, there is a spiritual gymnasium. You don't do it apart from the church. We need the body of Christ because it was within the body of Christ, within the spiritual gymnasium, that we receive the graces by which we can become by grace what God is by nature. We can never be what God is in the Godhead, but we can experience what it means to be partakers of the divine nature. All of this, once again, as a fervent appeal for you to not only get the resources, but to support this ministry all this month. We can't do this without you. We need you. So please consider joining CRI's monthly support team or supporting the ministry this month and receiving the resources. Check it out on the web, equip.org. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We will be right back here tomorrow with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ
and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.